Hill, reel 8.
And they told me the bad things. And I'd say, well, yes, I agree that, well, I would say it's not wanted, but you're quite right. You say, let's cut it down then. Don't you think that's better? That, I found, was the way to get the feeling, oh, he's in the job as well as I am, and he's a helping hand rather than a fellow who says, I know all the answers. In fact, I found myself saying it often. Now, look, I don't know all the answers.
Yes.
Some of them that defeat me still. I've had a bad morning, or... Yes, foregrounds are terribly difficult, aren't they? Or something
yes.
like that. I've met a lot of very nice people, and I've met a lot of first-class artists and names, big names. They may not be known now so much, but they were in my day, and we've all admitted in private we'd rather be doing anything than teaching.
Yes, but of course, during the years between the wars, it was it was often essential to have some teaching to live.
You had to have it. You had to have it. There's no doubt about that. I was commercial for... 1920 to 1929, and then the slump year came, and I realized that I've got to have something safer than that, and I think I've told you that's the year I was married to, and so I went into teaching then, because the commercial world shut down.
Yes.
And that was a very hazardous world too, especially if you did it my way. I had an artist agent. He was a very good, you know, rather like Tennyson, good mother was bad mother unto me, worse were better, yet no worse would I. Of course, he was good in that he found me all kinds of jobs, but I was always somebody different. And it was Stephen Spurrier, the great illustrator, who said, can I said, well, I've got my book of references, these are the things I do. He said, for God's sake, don't show that to a person you want a job from. You're everybody. You've got to establish yourself as doing it one way, and they'll come to you and say, we want an Adrian Hill drawing of this.
Yes.
And you were trying to do everybody.
Yes.
I did find that out. Of course, just after the war, Nash's and Britannia and Eve... they were running stories, and always the hero was a soldier, and so they got me to do the illustration.
Well, that's good, yes. you didn't actually do many illustrations for the Sphere, though they published quite a lot of your drawings during the war.
Yes, I've got, I wouldn't dare even show it to you, a book of some of the reproductions from children's books, and the first book in French, you know, grammar that I've illustrated, and sometimes people say, oh, I used to know a book of yours. I used to have it at school. It was printed by Jenner and Company. I was, oh, don't mention that. No, I think it helped me, Joseph, in this way, that I found that I could adapt myself to all kinds of different... techniques desired by the publisher. We want you to do it in this way. So I've been able to use this when a patient has been in a mess of how to say it. I say, well, we'll try it this way. Well, how do you do it? Well, if you use your brush this way, you do it. Probably it was a trick, and I would be always honest to say, if you find a trick, if you find a way you've done it by accident, that's legitimate.
Yes.
But if you take it from somebody else, I don't think it's too good.
No.
But I can show you some way, or I can tell you, I won't show you, I'll tell you some way in which I got round this. So I could, as we said, switch the bowling, and that helped.
Yes.
But
that's
it is
very interesting.
An exacting task.
You must have an unusually wide range, actually, of experience in techniques. And,
yes,
and
too much.
And style.
Too
yes.
much.
Well, but absolutely admirable for this sort of teaching purpose.
Yes.
Perhaps a little difficult for your own work.
Well, you see, I know a lot of painters, and the painters who have never, because they've been expert enough or knowledgeable enough or clever enough or artistic enough to be able to make their money at painting, who've never taught, and they've never had to do a picture under compulsion or take a job, they're better painters than I am, really. They say, I couldn't have done that to save my life. And you say, how lucky you are, because you might have had to do that, and you'd have hated doing it, but it would have been the time taken off when you would be doing your own kind of thing. I mean, I was thinking like, say the three that we've mentioned, the two brothers, the Nash brothers, I don't think they ever taught in their lives.
No, no.
And I know that Nivinson never did. And I know that Ivan Hitchens probably... I was a student with him, by the way.
Were you? I didn't
yes,
know that.
Yes, I was. Yes.
Oh, he was at the Royal College then after the war, wasn't
no,
he?
No, I go right back before the war, you see. Because I told you, my art studies were interrupted, didn't I? You didn't ask me where I was.
You were at St. John's Wood?
At St. John's Wood Art School, yes. With Ethelbert White and... Ivan Hitchens and John Armstrong and Willis and Meredith Frampton and John Hancock, their names now because they're and somebody else, they're all dead, you see. This is the unfortunate part. They must have been all older than me, or I'm too old, that's all. At the Westminster I was teaching, you see, with Mark Gertler, dead. Bernard Meninsky, dead. Adrian Allenson, dead. Medworth, dead. Did I mention Bernard Meninsky?
Yes.
Dead. And four of those committed suicide, curiously enough, yeah. As you may know. There it's two of them are TBs. In fact, this is the thing that makes it so difficult. For me to say, well, you ask, he's dead. I can't get anybody to corroborate.
The St. John's Wood School was a good school, was it?
It was a traditional school. It was the school which was the sort of nursery slopes for the school, like your preparatory school for your big school. And we at the St. John's Wood, it was only because my father had a house there. And so that when I left school, it was obviously the St. John's Wood that was just round the corner, Elm Tree Road. And it was run by a fellow called Frederick Whalen. And I don't know what the fees were. My best man became the head of the Goldsmiths Art School, or the department of it. And there you see the difference, a department in a big thing. The yes. St. John's Wood was just the St. John's Wood Art School.
Yes.
The Royal College, well, it has an awful lot of departments, you know, now.
Yes, now it's a big affair, really.
I think the only one left is the Slade.
Yes.
I think that's really a fine art school, isn't it?
It is, yes, within University College now.
Yes, yes. But they've gone right out now. And the fees are, they're absurd, aren't they?
Well, they've...
My son, of course, is the chappie that you ought to be talking about, or talking to. He's far better known than I am amongst the moderns. Anthony Hill is the chap.
Well, from our point of view, Adrian Hill.
That's very nice. But it's curious that they say to Anthony, they say to me, Anthony Hill, you're his father, aren't you? Oh, I thought he had a father who did something somewhere. They know him. And he's going to Romania next week. He's been going all over the place. He's been to America, he's been to Italy, he's been to Yugoslavia, he's been to Russia, now he's going to Romania. And I said to him, we're very disturbed to see him now. We love him desperately, but he's a very busy chap. He's very selfish too. He's not married yet. And he rang up to say, I hear you're going to France. We are going to France just for a break. And he said, when? And we told him, it's about a fortnight's time now. And he said, oh, then I'll be able to come down and see you. Because I shall be away at that time. And I said, where are you going? So he said, I'm going to Romania. And I said, Anthony, well, why do you go to the... Who sent you there? And he said, the British Council. Evidently, when you're on the British Council, you're made, I don't know, they seem to say, where... Well, Dorothy had him on the phone, and she said, well, why are you going there? What's the British Council? What's your chore there? What's your stint? And he said, oh, I think I'm just going to inspect the art schools and see what's happening there. This chap does this, you see. And
yes, that's right, yes.
I don't know. Where are we going in this?
Well, a friend of mine told me that he went a year ago to open an exhibition in Yugoslavia for the British Council. It must be very pleasant to have these assignments. But the St John's Wood School was a small scale traditional teaching.
Yes,
you enjoyed your time there, did you?
It was well, I did it the hard way, of course, which people don't understand now. I was doing quite a lot of drawings, making them up out of my head, as we said in those days. And I took those along, and little Freddie Whalen, we always used to call him, he looked at them and said, yes, well, you'll start in the antique. And I thought, oh dear. And I had to start. I did all the details of the David, the ears and the mouth and the eyes, about this in chalk or charcoal and point, with the putty rubber and the plumb line. Then I did the figures. I think I did them all, including the Laocoon, and the clapping faun, which I found very difficult because he or another of the staff called Michelson, I don't know, I've forgotten his Christian name, Leonard Walker was one who was the best, I think, of the bunch. But when I was doing the antique, it was always Freddie Whalen that used to come round and say, give me your plumb line. No, you see that curl on the top of his head? That ought to coincide with his left toe or something.
Yes.
Hell. But I got through that. Then we had lessons by, or lectures, I suppose they're called, on anatomy and and perspective. And those were very grim. But this reminds me that when a great friend of mine became head of the Westminster School of Art, he didn't follow Sicker, but he followed another chap who'd followed him. Anyhow, he gave Dorothy away when she came from South Africa. Kirkland Jameson,
yes.
He was head of the Westminster. And he got me onto the staff, of course, so I left Hornsey with a good deal of pleasure. And it was then going to be taken over very much by the LCC. And they said, you know, things have been very, very lax here. Now, who teaches perspective? So, and there was the staff called, and I've told you who they were. They all sat around looking rather nervous. Will anybody teach perspective? No different way to teach perspective. So we had to get somebody in to do that. And then, well, now who will lecture on anatomy? Nobody. Well, now look, Mark Gertler, you do the figure all the time? No, you wouldn't. I don't know nothing at all about it. None of them knew anything about it. So I remember Robert said, come on, Adrian, you were doing anatomy. Well, I had done a bit of anatomy, of course, at the Holmes. So I said, all right. Well, talking about a chap being just a week in front of his students, I had to do a lot of very quick homework. And the first thing I had to do was to indent for a skeleton. And I thought, well, now I'll be able to muck it up. To my horror, the skeleton came in parts that I had to put together. Ghastly. all the little bones had been done up in separate paper, all the metacarpals and the metatarsal. Oh, heavens. And I thought, I do hope I've got these right. But, you know, I got so interested in it that I went to the King's College, and I was allowed down in the anatomy room, the mortuary, and that put me off eating cold mutton for a long time, I assure you. But I did get to know it, and I was able always to use a model, and sometimes I used two models, and I used to draw. I had a fellow called Shackleford, and he was the masseur for the blackbirds that came over, and he was a model, and he said, cheery chap, he's always on the grin, fine muscle control. And I used to, with coloured chalks, outline the muscle in repose and then as it was stretched out. And yes, on a black surface, it was wonderful.
He
used to giggle away like anything. Couldn't see the marks on his back, but he saw the pectorals and serratus magnus and all those things.